All right, we are on page 166. 166. Appreciate your prayers. My throat and stuff this morning, and that I don't this cough drop. It's pretty serious business. So we're on 166, lesson number 4 of our study number 23 on witnessing. So far, we talked about what witnessing means, what soul winning is, why we should be witnesses and soul winners, the duty of every Christian being witnessing, how we should witness daily. We also talked about God's requirements for being witnesses. And then last week we began dealing with the 4 steps to a soul-winning witness. We've dealt with the first 2 steps, and then today we're going to have a short little lesson on the last 2 steps. And as we go through here, like I said, it's going to be a short little time, unless the Lord gives me a little more than what I had planned to share today. Also, speaking of sharing, if you're watching online, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you don't miss out on any of the messages that are that come on there. So here we are on page 166, step number 3, water. Let's back up to steps 1 and 2 just to mention what they were. Step 1 is to go. If we're going to be witnesses, if we're going to be soul winners, we have to go. We can't just sit around and expect people to come to us. We have to go. And then we have to sow. We have to take the word of God and speak it. We have to give it out to people, whether it's by tracts, by speaking the word of God, reading it to them or giving them something to read. We have to sow. Without the seed, there can't be fruit. You can't have growth. And the third thing here is that we must water. There must be water before the seed can grow. Of course, in a seed that's planted in the ground has to have the proper type of soil, which we talked about a little bit last week. In fact, part of sowing is preparing the soil. And so, once you've got the proper soil and you put the seed in the soil, then you have to water that seed. If you expect to have germination where that seed sprouts up into a plant, then you must water it. And then I would say, he's got 4 steps here, but I would throw a few more in or maybe just add a few things into those steps. And as you water, you also need to weed. You need to get the weeds out. You need to cultivate, make sure that if it gets cold out or something, if you have a strange, like after you planted your crops and then there's a frost, well, you've got to go out and cover up the plants, and you've got to make sure that it doesn't, that you don't have the plants dying from freezing, and you have to watch out for that. You have to watch out for varmints getting your plants. You watch out for the weasels and the rabbits and all of the little groundhogs and all the little guys that like to scurry up and steal your fruit as it begins to come. So all of those things, you have to care for the plant. And along with going and sowing and watering, all of that goes along together. It's all part of the process of taking care of that plant so that it can bear fruit and you can reap. So the water takes place here. We could spend a whole, actually, I've got a whole message on water, but we're not going to do that today. Like I said, I'm going to try to make it a short lesson today. But the basic things that he talks about here concerning watering, and I will add some things, but he says here, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And so I read to you the answer. They that sow in tears. Very good. So they that sow in tears. So he gives us here tears. Then he says in verse number 6 of the same chapter, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Very good. Let me get my little blinding laser going here so that I can. I'm on page 166. Weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Acts chapter 20, verse number 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And I just gave you the answer again. Night and day with tears. Very good. So he's pointing out here that there needs to be lots of prayer, that there needs to be weeping prayer even. And that's one way to water the seed. He says, when you have sown the seed into the heart of someone, pray for them earnestly and fervently until they are saved. One of the characteristics of a soul-winning Christian is a broken and compassionate heart. Many tears are often shed over a lost loved one. I would agree that part of watering is praying with tears and caring for that soul. But I would say that also part of watering is going to be the water of the Word. You're going to take the water of the Word and you're going to pour that out upon the person. As men are just like a plant, and just like we take the concept of sowing and watering and reaping and all of that, we take that and make that analogy. The same analogy fits, or a very similar analogy fits, with man being clay. And as God gives the, and we could go to Jeremiah and look at the potter's house and all of that, but we're just going to just talk about the analogy just for a moment. But man as clay has, you know, clay dries out, it gets hard to mold and things like that. Well, what do you do to mold that clay to make it pliable again? Sometimes you grind it to powder, which would symbolize dealing with the sin. Sometimes man's heart must be ground to powder over his sin, and it must become broken completely. And that also, I would say, symbolizes or fits with the analogy of preparing the ground. Sometimes you have to bust up that fallow ground, that hard and rough ground, and you have to get the rocks out, and you have to prepare that ground and just get it all where it needs to be. Well, after it's been prepared, after the ground's been prepared and you sow the seed, and after the clay has been ground to powder, it is now ready to be molded back into a useful piece of clay or lump of clay. And so the way that you do that is you add water with it and you mix that around. You put pressure on it, you crush it, and you smash it together, and it becomes more pliable as you add the water in. And then as you're molding the clay into whatever shape you're trying to make it, and you've got a potter's wheel and it's spinning and you're trying to make like a glass or, you know, a cup out of clay or a vase or something, and you're trying to mold that stuff, and it gets a little rough, or maybe it's the thing that's constantly added to that clay as they're molding it. What is it? You got a sponge and you're dipping it in water and you're constantly putting water on that clay to make it pliable and moldable. So, and that water in the Bible, it symbolizes the Word of God. You know, I just thought of a passage, if I can find it here real quick. In Isaiah, let's see here. Here we go. Wow, Isaiah 55. Listen to this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Amen. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not, or knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Here we go. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before thee into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hey, if you haven't read a chapter in your Bible yet today, you just did. But the reason I went there, and the reason I read the whole chapter, is I was looking specifically for verses 10 and 11, and I thought, wow, that whole chapter fits the whole thought process we're dealing with here. Watering. The whole thing, it starts out with, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And then he says in verse 10, that just like the rain comes down and the snow out of heaven, how it waters the earth and makes it to bring forth and bud and so on. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." So the thing here, I want to make sure that we don't misunderstand and think that this sowing or that this watering is only about tears and only about praying. No, we sow the word as the seed, but then we also water that little seedling with the word. Okay, so and we water it with the word and with tears and with praying. All of that goes together. But and just the same as, you know, we may have to bring that heart to a point where it is crushed and ground to powder, and then we have to add water and then put pressure and mold it into the, and now, you know, we're not doing that pressure. Actually, it's the Spirit of God doing that pressure, but sometimes He'll use us. But we take that and apply it to the clay, and we make that clay pliable again. I'm saying that we do that. The Lord does that, and He'll use us with His word to deal with the hearts of people. So this watering, it's a little deeper than what He's making it here. But again, we're talking about the ABCs of Christian growth, and that's a pretty simple study, supposed to be. So I don't want to get too terribly deep, but we must go, we must sow, and we must water. And watering sometimes means that you pray and you weep and you go back and you add more water to that little seed that's been planted in the heart. And you go back and you add more water. And sometimes you find that, oh man, you know what? The heart has been hardened and the ground has to be plowed up again. And we have to start over. In some cases, you know, you may have someone that you're dealing with that they keep falling away. They've never come to God, but they keep falling away into the world. And that heart keeps getting harder and harder. And you've got to pray with weeping that God will crush that heart, that He will break that heart, that He'll bring it to a point of repentance and a remorse over their sin, and help them to see that their sin is exceeding sinful. And you know, sometimes it takes work. Sometimes it takes work over a long period of time. Sometimes someone else has already sowed. Someone else has already watered. And now you get to go along and reap. Praise the Lord. But sometimes we have to do all steps with an individual person. Sometimes multiple people we're working with, and we have to go through every step. praise the Lord that sometimes, as he said, I send you forth to reap where you've not sown. So praise the Lord that sometimes other people sow, other people water, and then we get to reap as God gives the increase. Praise God for that. But a lot of the time, we have to do all that work. We can't expect to reap without going, sowing, and watering. But praise the Lord, sometimes we go, and you know, that's another thing. I've heard preachers tell me, listen, you know, we don't see very many people get saved when we go out and preach. Sometimes they go out and they preach and they preach and they preach, and then somebody will come visit their church, not as a result of their preaching, but because God blessed their faithfulness of sowing and sent somebody else that someone else has already sown in, and then they got to reap and see the person get saved. And that's exciting. You know, that God works all these things together. The idea is you're going and sowing, eventually you're going to reap. He says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Here we go back to step number four. The second greatest joy of the Christian life, after the joy of salvation itself, is the joy of actually leading a precious soul to Christ, to be a kind of spiritual midwife, a witness, and witness the miracle of the new birth. God promises you a harvest, and he only puts these two verses in there that we've already read over and over again, and that is, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It says, have you ever seen a self-harvesting plant? No, of course not. No crop will ever pick itself. Harvesting requires labor and method. As we went to that passage there, he says, just as the rain that comes down and the snow that comes down, it doesn't just fall to the ground. Now, of course, we recognize that it falls to the ground, it goes into the earth, and it eventually works its way back into the water streams and then back to the ocean, and it evaporates and then condensates and comes back down. But what he's saying here is that before all that happens, that water accomplishes its purpose. It falls from the heaven, it hits the ground, it saturates the dirt, and the seeds get the water that they need to bring forth fruit, or to bud and germinate and come to be. Whether that's grass, whether that's trees, whatever it is. And, new little plants that come up, little seedlings, or even older ones. The water comes down. And by the way, the Word of God, whether you're a barely germinating plant with no fruit yet, or whether you're a full flourishing tree planted by the rivers of water, the Word of God, the water of the Word of God, as it comes down out of heaven, his word will not return void. It will produce growth in your life, as long as you don't, as some rough clay, harden your heart. Just as we can expect the Word of God to bring forth fruit in our lives, we can also expect the Word of God, as we go and we sow and we water, that we can reap. He says here, how may I reap? The first thing here he says is plan to. It's amazing how many Christians fail to win those they witness to simply because they don't expect to. He says to act in faith. It's crazy how often we witness to someone and think that person's never going to get saved. Fact is, I was never going to get saved. And if you knew me when I got saved, like knew me, you probably would have thought, that guy is never going to become a Christian, or he's never going to live for God. And that's exactly what a lot of my old friends thought. And then when I got saved, they're like, whoa, what happened to you? Well, God did, you know? So, you know, and it wasn't really, I mean, no joke, guys. I was visited, I don't even know how many times. I mean, it was, I don't know, 7-8 times, I guess, maybe, where they were inviting me to church and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I kind of, I didn't, I was kind. I wasn't rude to him. And I was just kind of like, yeah, we'll see, maybe. I don't know, you know. And I kind of blew him off, but didn't, like, really blow him off, you know. And eventually I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go. And God had been dealing with my heart over some time already. He had already allowed me to hear the gospel several times in different circumstances and stuff. And I just wasn't ready. And then, you know, I finally went to church, heard the gospel again. It was a real simple Romans Road plan of salvation, real simple message. I think Brother Kaiser preached like maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And that was all I needed. It was time. And I know some people will try to get all theological about that and say, well, you have to be lost before you can be saved. And yes, I agree with that. I'm not going to get all, you know, bent out of shape on how all that works and stuff. But I had to come to a point where I recognized my need for salvation. And I was at that point, and then a clear presentation of the gospel was given. And, you know, if Brother Kaiser would have thought, oh, man, he's here, he's not going to get saved. Maybe I should just preach a message on, you know, good, godly Christian living or something like that. You know, and instead, though, he gave a very, very simple message of the gospel. And it was exactly what I needed. I don't know if he expected me to get saved or not, but I do know that he often would go after guys that I thought, why is he wasting his time with that guy? The guy's not going to get saved. Lo and behold, there's at least 3 kids that in when I was a youth guy there at McGregor Road, there were at least 3 kids that ended up getting saved that I thought would never get saved. After they went and had a conversation with Brother Kaiser, I'm like, he got saved? Amen. I'm like, well, praise the Lord, you know, but for some reason, I thought, they're never going to get saved. But then, you know, you got to think back. I mean, God was able to save me. He's able to save you. He can save anybody. And so we have to plan and expect God to do what he says he's going to do to save people. He absolutely can, and he will. And he wants to save them more than you want to see them get saved. More than you and I. I mean, as much as we pray for our friends and loved ones and family members and say that we want to see them get saved, and we pray for Fountain Square and say that we want to see Fountain Square turn to God and multitudes saved and serving the Lord, as much as we say that we want that, God wants it more than we do. Isn't that an amazing thing? The things that we're praying for, that we know God would have us to pray for, he wants it more than we do, more fervently. He is more passionate about it. He wants it to happen way more than we even realize that, you know, compared to the desire that he has for those people, we relatively hate them compared to his desire, compared to what he's asking for or what he's looking for and wanting to see happen in these people's lives. So letter B here, it says, make certain by asking questions that the one you are dealing with fully understands the plan of salvation. Be careful not to ask loaded questions such as, do you want to go to heaven? I'm not opposed to asking, do you want to go to heaven? But don't use that as a manipulative tool to get someone to say a prayer and give them a false assurance or a false faith. Although if you know that someone's heart is in the right place, if you're in tune with the Spirit of God and it seems as though the person is understanding everything, you know, I don't see a problem with asking questions like that. I don't see a problem with using a question like that to initiate a conversation. Of course, you don't like follow it through. Oh, do you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah. Okay, great. Well, you're a sinner. You know that? Yeah, I suppose so. Jesus died for you. You know that? Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you pray this prayer with me? You know, that's like definitely not the way to go. That's a loaded plan, and not that I'm not opposed to praying a prayer with somebody if their heart's in the right place. I believe people can get saved that way. I have no problem with that. But you don't want that. That's not your first goal. That's not where you're headed when you're not. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for seeing a heart turn to God from sin and trusting the Savior alone to save them. It says, do not try to reap if there is no evident conviction of sin or if there is no real understanding about what Christ has done. Remember, human nature expects to work for salvation. Don't harvest unripened fruit. However, it is not time, or however, if it is not time to reap, always leave the door open. So, you know, if it's often I've talked with people and I'm like right there at the end of the point, and I'm like, you know what, I could totally just lead them through a prayer right now, or I could totally just I could push them just a little bit more, and maybe they'll get saved. And then I ask the Lord, I'm like, Lord, is it time? And a lot of times I'll just recognize it's not time. And so sometimes I'll have to tell somebody, I'll say, hey, look, you know, think about what we just talked about. We're going to talk again soon. And I say, hey, when can I come back and talk to you about this again? You know, and I try to set up a time to talk to him again. Or I say, hey, I'm going to give you a call here in a couple of days. Or, you know, if I'm downtown or whatever, I'll get their phone number. And sometimes I'll set up a time, or sometimes I'll just tell them, hey, I'm going to give you a call. We'll talk about this some more. But, you know, when you get to a point where you recognize you've gotten as far as you're going to get with them and they're not ready yet, they might go along with you, but they're not ready. Then you don't want to pick unripened or harvest unripened fruit. You just want to hold off, let that water soak in. And as the seed begins to germinate, then you can come back and cultivate that, and then see fruit come ripen and then reap at that point. So let her see here. Explain carefully that salvation is believing. That means repenting or turning from sin and self, and receiving or turning to Christ. And that this is done by calling upon the Lord through a simple, heartfelt prayer. Okay? Very, very simple. They trust God alone for their salvation. Repenting means that they're turning from their sin and self and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Recognizing their sin, recognizing the Savior, and seeing it the way that God does. And when I say seeing it the way that God does, I just mean being on the same, you know, kind of the same thought process, same direction. That doesn't mean that they have a perfect understanding of what sin is and a perfect understanding of how deep the sin is and everything that they need to know about justification and everything that they need to know about sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ and substitutionary atonement and all of those things. They don't need to know all of that stuff. All they need to know is they're a sinner, they need a Savior, and He can save them. That's it. And then trust Him to do so. The so-called sinner's prayer has no set format, but needs to include two important elements. Acknowledgement of the facts, I am a sinner, destined for hell, and repentance, turning from sin and faith, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. After you lead a soul to receive the Lord, pray with him, rejoice with him, encourage him to come to church at the next opportunity. Get others to pray for the new babe in Christ and talk to your pastor about getting him into this ABCs of Christian Growth program. Very good idea. And in fact, now that we have it all on video almost, we just have a few more lessons left. It will be very easy to just say, hey, go to our church website or go to our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/BROABC. And they can go on there and they can go to the playlists, click on ABCs of Christian Growth, and they can just start right on the first lesson. They can hit play, and if they really wanted to, they could sit there. They could print off the materials, and they could sit there for hours and hours and hours straight and go through the whole book all at once. Or they could, you know, go through it little by little. You could go through one lesson every day. And I don't know how many lessons we have in that. I think we're somewhere around 40 or 50 or something now or something like that. not really. I think we are. Well, we may be pretty close to that. I'll have to check and let you guys know. But all right. So he's got some assignments here. The opportunity my church offers me to engage in visitation is on, I wrote anytime, but then I also wrote specifically, we do have in our bulletin a specific time that we have set aside for anyone who's available to go. You just coordinate with me and we'll go. And that is Saturdays at 5 p.m. And at 5 p.m. now, obviously, Saturday at 5 p.m. during this time of year, it's dark. So we go downtown. We don't go door to door at that time on Saturdays or any day of the week, really, at this time at 5 o'clock in the evening, because generally speaking, it's dark and it's not really a good time to go knock on doors in this neighborhood when it's dark. Not necessarily opposed to doing that. I just don't know how fruitful it would be at 5 o'clock in the wintertime. Now, I'm not opposed to going out and doing that. Now, we can go do specific visits where people we already know that, you know, that we've visited with before. We go stop by their house. We can do that. But outside of this, we have that specific time frame. But we also have, I am available and can be made available as you are available to go door knocking, visiting specific people, bus visitation for youth night if we want to do that. That can be like a Saturday morning thing or something like that, where we can go out, see the kids. You know, we can go to the different apartment complexes and neighborhoods and stuff and go out and you know, bus visitation a lot of times is like, hey, we got this youth night thing. Let me give you an invite. And then, oh, by the way, and try to go through the gospel with them, try to share your testimony. Also, I have a little a testimony teaser card or tract that I wrote about a year and a half ago or so. I used it to try to reach my neighbors. And you can now, I didn't get real far with it at the time, anyways, I can convert it, change it a little bit. But basically, it's just a little teaser to try to get them interested in hearing my testimony. It doesn't, it's not a tract. It's not designed to give them the gospel. It's just designed to get them, to get me in front of them to share the gospel with them. So basically that gives, in fact, I might pull it up and read it to you guys. the idea is you get out there and get the gospel into people's hands. Sometimes it's, I prefer, instead of just giving them the tract, I prefer to try to share the gospel with them, witness to them. Obviously if we can do that, that's the first step. I'll have to look that up later. I'm trying to do things all at the same time here, but, I'll look that up and read it to you guys in between services. Anyway, so assignment number one is take advantage of the opportunity that we have on Saturdays. Or if you can't make time to get a hold of me and let's go out together. You know, of course, you want to go two by two. You don't want to go alone. That's why a lot of times if there's not someone here Saturday, I don't go. And it's not because, you know, not because I'm not interested. It's because I don't have another adult person to go with me. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go with a lady that I'm not married to. If I'm going to go out with my wife to visit or to preach or whatever, I'm going to need somebody to watch the kids. So, you know, it's, or maybe take them with us, but we're not going to go door knocking with six people at a doorstep, you know, unless it's a planned visit. But anyways, assignment number one is take advantage of our church opportunities to go visiting. And we have a set time, and then we also have open times through, you guys know the way my schedule works. Basically, when you're available, I can be available. Just let me know ahead of time and I can plan it that way. Assignment number two, I have set aside copies of our church brochure for ready use in the following places. Or right now, this time of year, you should have some of those Christmas tracts. We've got a whole box of 2,500 of them right there by the door. Take a big old stack of them. Put some in your car. If you have multiple cars, put some in each car. Put some in your coat pocket. Put some in your, on your kitchen counter. Or if you have a shelf or something by the front door, put some there. Wherever you do, if you pay bills through the mail, put some next to your, you know, next to the, your, wherever you put your bills and stuff. And then whenever you get ready to pay your bills, slip a tract in the bill, you know, in your bill envelope. Now those ones you probably have to fold in half and stick in there, but, opportunities there. I put, in my work bag, in the, in my vehicles, in pockets, most of, all of my coats have tracks in the pockets. In the summertime, I don't generally wear long sleeve shirts or shirts with pockets, so it's a little harder to have it on me, on my pocket, in my pocket. So I keep it in my work bag and in my vehicles and stuff. We keep them in the kitchen as well. So like if somebody comes to the door, we've got tracks right there in the kitchen. We can snag one and talk to them. And so assignment number three: list two or three people the Lord would have you pray for and make opportunity to witness to over the next 4 weeks. One thing I want to challenge you with as well is each week try to share the gospel or your testimony with the gospel in it to at least one person each week. And not just during this assignment, but like make it a way of your life to try to share the gospel with at least one person every single week. Now, you don't have to stop at one. You have the opportunity to share the gospel with 25 people a week. Do it. Do it. The Lord would be pleased with that, and it will be a blessing to you as well. I guarantee it. At least one person a week. And when I say that, I mean mainly randomly. I don't mean you like scheduled it with the person. You should also have, along with sharing the gospel to at least one person a week, we should also have maybe somebody that we know has not heard the gospel, or that we know, whether it's family or friend or whatever, that we can schedule time to talk to them and maybe, you know, take some time to share the gospel with them. Assignment number four, on a separate sheet of paper, write out your testimony as though you were telling someone, of what Christ has done for you. Your testimony should be divided into three parts: your life before you were saved, how you came to be saved and what you did, and then your life since you were saved. And of course, as I said before, you want to make it so that you could share it with somebody maybe in 1 to 3 minutes. Okay. You know, obviously a lot of us have a short version and a long version of our testimony. You know, long version, you can give your testimony for an hour, sometimes more, but the short version, you know, you can just give the real basics. Like, you know, I was a filthy, vile wretch. The Lord showed me I needed a savior. And, you know, obviously, you know, you can give your testimony in like 30 seconds, but if you're going to include a little bit of scripture, it might be 1 to 3 minutes. So, you know, share the scriptures that the Lord used to convict you. Share the scriptures that the Lord used to convince you of your need for salvation. And then what you use to claim the promises. So the last thing here is a signature block. Is I accept that the Bible teaches I am to both witness and seek to win others to Christ. I now dedicate my life to involve myself in this Christian duty, first by seeking to study and memorize the scriptures and to pray for the lost, then involve myself in the opportunities presented by the church to train and visit. Make sure you sign that. Make sure you sign it if you mean it. If you don't mean it, get your heart right and then sign it. Any questions or comments on any of that? Next week we'll start letter X. That'll be fun.